seated this morning. That was our youth worship band. This is what the youth get on Wednesdays. And so they did a great job, didn't they? So on a typical Wednesday, if you come here, if you're youth or you know youth, this is what they get to experience. They get to experience God and they get to worship God. And it's led by the teenagers and some adults helping there. But it's primarily teenagers that lead it. And so we're very, very proud of them. And the work that Kyle, where's Kyle? The work that Kyle, where he's at, sprouting in the water. Yeah, there he is. Over there he's hiding. The work that Kyle has invested in the young lives of these kids or teenagers is awesome. Can we get a hand to Kyle? As he runs away, he's embarrassed. You're doing good, Kyle. For those of you who are new this morning, welcome. We're glad you're here. Now, last week, we had a lot of new guests, and we missed a lot of you in the entryway. We have a gift for you. As a matter of fact, if last week you came, you didn't get a gift, our apologies. We want to give you a gift today. So before you leave, go out there, and we have a gift for you. So after service. We're glad you came, and for those of you who came back, we're delighted that you came back. We're excited that you felt comfortable enough to say, you know what, I'm going to give it another chance. I see something different. I feel something different when I come to this church, and I want to tell you folks that what you feel different is the Holy Spirit, I think, working in this church and in and through the lives of the people that are part of this church. And so our motto truly is no perfect people allowed. Come as you are, but don't stay there. Don't stay there. We want to help you in your journey. We want to help you know God, and we want to help you get to share God with others as well. So welcome this morning. If you're here this morning, you invited someone, you brought someone, we're very proud of you. You're fulfilling the mission of making His name known. So now if you're here this morning as well, we're continuing our series on faith and how God develops faith. Now it's interesting because God develops faith in six different ways, and so over the course of the next couple of weeks, we're exploring those different ways, those different seasons and phases in people's lives. And last week, we saw that God begins to build your faith by first giving a dream, first giving an aspiration or a purpose or a desire that He deeply puts. He puts that seed in your heart, and that's how He starts to build your faith, in the level of a dream, in the level of something that you have deep inside of you that you want to see accomplished in your life. Now, you know what I'm talking about. If you just kind of look internally and kind of feel and kind of sense, okay, you know that you've been shaped and built for more than what you're currently doing. You know that God has placed that deep-seated dream in your life, and that's the way he starts faith in your life. It's by infusing in you this aspiration, this purpose, this dream in your life. For some of you, it might be that He's placed a dream to start a business or to expand a business. Or maybe the dream is to make investments in people's lives or just in the stock market. Or it might be that your dream is to have impact in your community. It might be that the dream that you have is to impact the next generation coming. It might be in a classroom. It might be outdoors. It might be somewhere, where God has just put this deep desire in you to make a difference. It might be that you're a student in school and the dream is that you would be used by God to impact the generation around you that is so lost, that doesn't know who Jesus is, have no clue who this person Jesus is, and you have this desire to make Him known. And so you might be here thinking, man, that's my dream. So some of you, God is calling you into the ministry and that scares you, and that's the dream that God has placed in your heart, and you don't know quite what that's going to look like, but you know that God is the one putting that in your life. For some of you, the dream is to have a marriage that represents and reflects the relationship that we have with the Savior, a marriage that is just thriving, not just surviving. I don't know what kind of dream God has placed in your life, but I do know that He has placed a dream in your life, in every one of your lives here this morning. And the reality is that a God dream is one that requires faith. You see, if your dream does not require faith, then that's just your own personal, agendas or your personal dreams, and that's okay with that. But a God dream will always require faith. A God dream will always, always require faith. In other words, when God gives you a dream, you can't fulfill it yourself by yourself without God showing up. And that's why it requires this thing that we call faith. That's a God dream. And God's dream for your life never, ever contradicts his word. God's dream for your life will never tell you to do or say or practice something that goes against the will, his will, as it's declared in God's word. And the greater the dream that God has placed in your life will be the greater the faith that will be required from your life. Did you catch that? That the greater the dream that God puts in you, it's going to require the greater the faith for you to see it actually happen and come to fruition. Because that's the way God works. And we have seen that God's process of building your faith is a very predictable process. God doesn't leave it to mystery. The way God has designed building your faith is a very predictable way to build your faith. As a matter of fact, there's six seasons or six phases that he uses in your life to build your faith. And to the degree that you realize or recognize what season you're in will be the degree that you'll be able to either come alongside of God and cooperate with him building your faith, or you're going to be frustrated, confused, and angry with God. So it's very, very important that all of us here begin to really recognize where you're at, what season you're in, so that you can collaborate and cooperate with God as he builds your faith. This morning, we're going to go from the dream that God gives a dream that we saw last week. We're going to go from that to making a choice. That's the second phase. While the first phase was, I have a dream from God. God has placed something, a seed inside of me that he wants me to accomplish. The second phase is, now you've got to make a choice. Now you've got to make a choice on that. You know, the research shows that we make close to 35,000 decisions a day. If you're an adult, about 35,000 decisions a day. And if you're a child, you make about 3,000 a day. And I started thinking about that this morning as I was kind of putting all the pieces together of the message. And I thought to myself, 35,000, how can that be? And I thought, well, you know, and the more I thought about it, I thought, well, I woke up, I pressed snooze about six, seven times. Those were seven decisions that I made. I finally got up. I went to, you know, get my shirt, and I had tons of shirts. I thought to myself, okay, what's the one that I haven't wore anytime soon? And so I made a choice. And then I was like, good thing I'm not a woman, not no insult to women, because then I would have been like, okay, what pants do I use? What socks must I use now? You know, what kind of makeup goes with this? So I didn't have to make those choices, but I had some other set of choices that I did have to make. So finally, I got to my car, I started driving, and I thought to myself, well, I got to get some caffeine, obviously. I got to up the energy here. That's the only way we can do this, by upping the energy. I thought to myself, what do? Do I drink coffee or a Red Bull? Even though many of you have already scolded me, especially, you know, the older ladies have been like, those things kill you, Jesse. I know. So what did I decide? A Red Bull. So first hour, I get the greatest heat. And so I made sure the first hour I hit it. You know, they couldn't even see it, you know, until I let the cat out of the bag when I finally mentioned it in the message. And then I got those glares. And so I got the Red Bull. And so finally I came in and made some other series of choices, you know, what would be the, you know, the main announcement. And so you make, and as I thought through it, I thought, well, yeah, by the end of the day, I'm going to have about 35,000 different decisions. Now, not all of those decisions will be wise decisions. One can only hope that we make a whole bunch of wise decisions, but the reality is that oftentimes we don't. But I want to tell you something. If you're going to take this dream and this dream that God has given you in your life, if this dream is going to become reality in your life, you're going to have to make a decision. You cannot be one of the nine out of the ten that knows that God has placed a deep dream in their life and decides to do nothing with it. Decides that, you know what, I'm not going to make a choice to go for it. You see, because one out of ten will say, I want to do this. God has placed this dream in my heart, and I want to see it happen in my life. Only one out of ten. And I want for you, more than anything, for most of you to say, that's not going to be me. I'm not going to be one of the nine. I'm going to be the one that says, I want to do something about this. Because a dream is worthless unless you wake up and you go to work at it. It's worthless unless you make a decision to follow it. So make a decision and follow your dream. The worst mistake, this is the worst mistake that you and I could make. This is the worst mistake to say this, is to say, I'll just leave it up to God. That's the worst mistake you could do. To just say, you know what? I'm going to leave my marriage just up to God. I'm going to leave my parenting just up to God. I'm going to leave my business practices just up to God. I'm going to leave my, you know, my classroom just up to God. I'm going to leave my world around me just up to God. It sounds very spiritual to simply say, I'm just going to leave it up to God. But it's not very spiritual, really, because you're not exercising faith. When you say, I'm just going to leave it up to God, you're basically saying, I don't want to do anything about this. And now you just took out of the equation the most important factor, which is faith. James chapter 1, verse 7, James puts it this way. He says, a person unable to make up his mind and undecided in all he does must not think he will receive anything from the Lord. Isn't that interesting? That James says that if you are wishy-washy, that if you're undecided, you don't know quite what to do, that God is just not going to do anything for you. How can you ever expect God to show up if you don't do anything from your part? If you just come to the table with the attitude of, well, I'm just going to leave it up to God. Where is the God factor combined with your efforts, your faith? What that does is that it limits God. It limits God when we just wishy-washy, don't know what to do, don't know we should do this or that, and we're just in wishy-washy zone. What that does is it excludes the opportunity of faith. It wastes energy too. You have a lot of lateral energy, a lot of wasted energy, because we waste more energy in the wishy-washy stage of life than the actual decision-making. When we say, I'm going to go for it. And listen, this is the connection that I'm trying to make here this morning, and that is that faith involves decision-making. Faith involves decision-making. In other words, you have to make a decision in order for it to be faith. And that's the way God has designed it, by the way. God has designed it that way, to function that way. God had a dream for Moses, for example, to free his people, but Moses had to decide to go against Pharaoh. God had a dream for Noah to save his family and therefore saving humanity, future generations. But guess what? Noah had to decide to build an ark. God had a dream for Abraham that he would be the starter of a great nation. But Abraham had to decide to leave and to go for it, to leave home. He had to decide. What if these men would not have decided to step into faith, into their dream? They would have lost out. They would have missed out in whatever God had planned for them. And quite frankly, we would have missed out as well. I don't want you to miss out in what God has in store for you. God has in store great things for you. I don't want you to miss out. We don't want you to miss out. Again, we're making about 35,000 decisions a day, and we're making the wise decisions each day. This morning, I want to focus on that. So let's say you're going to step out in faith, and you're going to step into your dream, the dream that God has placed in your heart to fulfill. How do you make wise choices once you begin to step into it? This is how you do that. You make better decisions when you pray for guidance. You make better decisions when you pray for guidance. I don't know where you're at in life, but if you want to enjoy life, you got to make better decisions. And one of the fastest way to make a better decision is to pray for guidance. Before anything else, get God's perspective. Get God's perspective. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26, it says, a man is foolish to trust himself, but those who use God's wisdom are what? Say it with me. What? Safe. Safe from a lot of pain, safe from just being confused, disoriented, safe from yourself. So you got to pray for God's guidance. I want to ask you a question, and you don't have to answer your hand, but odds are that most of you will, if we're honest. How many of you have made a dumb decision that seemed right in the past? Any dumb decisions in the past that seemed quite right, but they were not really? Yeah. Yeah, I could ask how many of you have made multiple decisions like that. Man, I'd be like, yeah, yep, here's the encyclopedia of bad decisions. You know, all of us can say, you know, that there have been times in our life when we thought it was the right decision, but it wasn't quite the right decision after we made it. And we would say, well, we had this impression, you know, we had this, you know, feeling about it. And let me tell you, folks, those feelings, 50% of the time, they're right, and 50% of the time, they're wrong. You're basically flipping a coin. I've seen this to be true over the course of the last couple of years as I've officiated weddings. And the more I hear this story from men as they're getting ready to get married, the more it makes me feel good about myself. When I was, you know, getting married with Marisa, I mean, I knew God was bringing us together. And I knew God had each other, had us both in store for each other. And all was well until the planning of the wedding. And for some of you, you know exactly what I'm talking about, especially you ladies. Now, during the planning of the wedding, I felt like I'm still good because I'm not planning it. So I was good with all that. Until the day came where I got that call from Marisa saying, oh my gosh, I just got into another argument with my mom. I don't know what to pick with this or that. You need to help, you know, helping some of the decisions. And I'm thinking, whoa, wait a minute. Like, I thought this was y'all's deal. Like, you've been dreaming of this since you were young. This wasn't even a dream of mine until I met you. So shouldn't you be making all the decisions? And she's like, you know, you got to help me here. And this is the middle of the night. And then I experienced what I've only experienced twice in my life. And that was a panic attack. You know, I was like, oh my gosh, my chest is hurting. Something is happening. I don't know what it is. You know, I don't think it's gas. You know, I'm thinking, at this point, I'm second guessing. Should I really get married? Is this God's will or not? You know? And so now that I see it from the other end and I see men marrying their spouses, I'm thinking, oh yeah, dude, it's normal. Trust me, God brought you together. You know, just go for it. You know, I could have made the biggest mistake by saying no, because the feeling wasn't, you know, at that moment at night when I got that call, the feeling wasn't there, you know? How many mistakes do we make because of that? We need to depend on something more reliable, something way more reliable than our feelings. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, it says this. The peace that Christ gives, so Christ is going to give you something. And this something he's going to give you is going to bring you an immense amount of peace. He's going to give you something. He's giving every one of you here something that's going to bring you peace. And what is that? It's to guide you in the decisions you make. Man, that's good. God wants to guide you. He's with you and he's guiding you. If he is the storyteller, if he is the one that wrote the book in your life, the author, wouldn't you want to find out from the author what he has in store for you? Wouldn't you want to know the author's intent in chapter 13 when you're in chapter 9 of your story? And yet we just bypass the author. We're like, you know, whatever. But the author has the answer, so we must go to the author to see where we're at in the story, to see what God is doing in our story. And yet oftentimes we just neglect the author. You got to ask your question. The question to ask during that time is this. What does God want? When you're in that crossroad, you got to make a decision. You got to ask yourself, what does God want? That's the starting point. God, what do you want? What is it that you want? You want to make a wise choice? That's the starting point. Number two, you make better decisions when you get the facts. You make better decisions when you get the facts. Find out all you can first. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 16, it says, every prudent man acts out of what? Knowledge. Say it with me. Acts out of what? Knowledge. If you want to be wise, if you want to be smart, if you want to be a prudent person, if you want to avoid all sorts of mistakes, act out of knowledge. Gather the data. You know, over a decade ago, there was an infomercial that said, you know, you can own your own little slice of California, you know, in the mountains, in the high country. You don't even have to visit. Just send us your money. Right? So what happened? You know, there's a millionaire out there. They got tons of money because people didn't look at the facts, didn't investigate. As a matter of fact, even while we were trying to decide to come here to Gonzales, whether to come or not, back in 2007, Marisa and I decided, first of all, to get the facts. You know, we had some surveys done. I mean, we came over here. We were interviewing people. We were talking with people, with random people. And during that time, we started seeing the facts and what would it look like to be here. We already sensed that God was calling us here, but we wanted to make sure that, you know, we had all the information that we needed. And along the way, back in 2007 is a different story than where we're at today. But in 2007, this city was very prejudiced. It was a lot of, kind of separation of the races, really. I mean, you had situations where some people couldn't go to certain churches because of the color of their skin, or you couldn't go to other churches because of how much you made or didn't make. And so with all those facts, we decided we want to go there because we want to start a church that is diverse. We want to start a church that doesn't matter the color of your skin, you could come and worship the same God. We were like, we want to start a church that doesn't matter how much money you make, that you everybody starts in an equal playing field. And that's why we came. And some of you might be thinking, why didn't you just move before gathering the facts? Well, because of this proverb. In Proverbs 18, verse 13, it says, it's stupid to decide before knowing the facts. It's stupid to decide before knowing the facts. Exclamation point. It's better when Scripture says it versus when I say it. So I don't want to be in that category. Therefore, I want the facts. So many new businesses fail because they fail to gather the facts. So many marriages fail because they fail to gather the facts before them. So the question we ought to ask ourselves when we find ourselves in this situation is, what do I need to know first? What do I need to know first? You're trying to make a decision right now. You're trying to make a life-changing decision, maybe, or you're trying to redeem something. You're trying to make sure that you don't lose something. You got to ask yourself the question, what do I need to do first? Or what do I need to know first? Number three, you make better decisions when you ask for advice. You make better decisions when you ask for advice. Talk to someone who's made a similar decision. Talk to somebody who knows your weaknesses. King Solomon put it this way. He said, the more advice you get, the more likely you are to win. The more advice you get, the more likely you are to win. You're more likely to what? Say it with me. Win. Say it with me. Win. Who wants to win this morning? Yeah, that's right. Oh, most of us want to win. Nobody wants to be a loser. We all want to win. If you want to win, you need advice. Period. You don't have it in you. You don't have all the information within you to make all the right choices. You need people around you. Henry Ford, which was the creator and founder of the Ford Company, was asked what the secret of his success was, and he said, making wise decisions. And so they asked him, well, how do you learn wise decisions? He said, from experience. So then they asked him, how do you get that experience? By making stupid decisions. I want to suggest to you this morning that there's a better way. That's to learn from others. That's a better way. That's to learn from others. Life is too short to learn it all by trial and error. It's too short, folks. Life is too short to learn it that way. This is my favorite proverb. This is a cultural proverb, and I suspect that some of you have heard it. You might want to write it down. I just love this proverb. It's one of my all-time favorite. The early bird gets the worm, but the second mouse gets the cheese. Let it sink in. It's not biblical, but it's really good. The early bird gets the worm, but the second mouse gets the cheese. You know? I want to get the cheese. I want to let the other person get snapped by that trap, and I get the cheese. We got to learn from other people's mistakes. I'd rather learn from somebody else's mistake than my own mistake. And I'm sure you do too. I want to be the second mouse. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 28 says, get good advice and you will succeed. Not maybe, not perhaps. Get good advice and you will succeed. You will succeed. Folks, even if you have to hire a consultant or hire someone, hire a counselor in your marriage or hire a consultant for your business, even if you hire someone, do something, get advice. I remember the first year before we launched this church, we hired a consultant. Cost us anywhere from $1,200 to $1,400 to bring this consultant. He came in his own little plane and landed here in Gonzales. You know, we had a little core group of 20-some adults, and we met with them, and we wanted to ask the question, you know, how do you start a church in a town that is anti-growth, in a town that doesn't like new? And that was back in 2007. You know, this town didn't like new, and so we brought this guy. How do you start it? How do you do it? And he gave us a lot of good advice. And one of the biggest advices he gave us was, have a vision worth dying for this city. See, sometimes you have to pay for that advice. It might cost you something. You got to ask yourself the question, who could help me? Who could help me? Odds are is that God has placed somebody in your life that could help you. The problem, though, is that we'd rather appear wise than be wise. So we pretend to know what we don't know. Let me say that again. We'd rather appear wise than be wise, so we pretend to know what we don't know. See, it involves a lot of humility. In order for you to be wise and make wise decisions, it's going to require humility to ask the right people the right questions. Number four, to make better decisions when you have to calculate the cost. To make a better decision, you have to calculate the cost. Figure out in advance how much the decision is going to cost you. In terms of time, money, energy, or reputation. Every decision we make has a price tag, especially when you're walking into your dream and faith. There's going to be a price tag. There's always a price tag that follows when you move forward and press into what God has in store for you. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 25, it says, it's a trap for a man to dedicate something rashly and only later to consider his vows. It's a trap. It's a trap to decide without deliberating. It's a trap to promise without thinking. It's okay. It's okay to tell someone, I'll get back with you. I'll get back with you. As a matter of fact, let me give you permission to do that. You know, I want you to say it with me. I'll get back with you. I'll get back with you. You have that. You can do that in your life. As a matter of fact, I want you to do something else. I want you to look to your neighbor to your left and to your right. I want you to tell your neighbor, I'll get back with you. There you go. Don't you feel much freer now? I'll get back with you. Can you meet today? I'll get back with you. They know. Do you want to get married today? I'll get back with you. You want to hang out? I'll get back with you. You know. I'll get back with you on that. You know. How much does this cost? I'll get back with you. Do you want to have another kid? I'll get back with you. I've used that a couple times, actually. I'll get back with you. Or if you want to use it more, the Christianese, let me pray about it. That's another way. That's another one you could use, you know. That's code for I'll get back with you. I'll pray about it, you know. Just give me some time. You know, I got to go to Jesus on this one. I might even have to light some candles on this one. So I'll get back with you. I need to consult God first. Refuse to be pressured into a decision. Let me tell you why. This is the law of life. The law of life is this. It's always easier to get yourself into something than to get out. It's always easier to get into something than to get out. It's easier to get into debt than it is to get out of debt. It's easier to get into a relationship than it is to get out of a relationship. It is easier to fill a schedule than it is to unfill it. It's just easier. At home, we have this trap for mice, and it's a metal trap, and it's a little box, and occasionally, once in a, you know, in a blue moon, we'll put some peanut butter there, and because supposedly mice like it. But occasionally we'll get lizards in there, and once in a lifetime we'll get a mouse that goes in there. But let me tell you something: not only is it ineffective, but when it is effective, when the mouse does go in there, that mouse can't get out. There's no way. Doesn't have it. Doesn't have the opportunity to get out. And some of you are getting into these kind of decisions where you just can't get out. You got to ask yourself this question. Ask yourself this question. Is it worth it? When it comes time to make that decision, you got to ask yourself, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Number five, you make better decisions when you prepare for problems. You make better decisions when you prepare for problems. I heard this quote this week. It says, hope for the best, but plan for the worst. Hope for the best, but plan for the worst. King Solomon, 3,000 years earlier, said it this way, a sensible man watches for problems ahead and prepares to meet them. The simpleton never looks and suffers the consequences. We don't want to be the simpleton. We want to be the wise person, don't we? We want to be the wise person. Who's ever heard of Murphy's Law? Ever heard of Murphy's Law? I don't know who this Murphy is, but man, he's got a law. And the Murphy's Law says this, if anything can go wrong, finish it with me. It will. That's right. That's Murphy's Law. Thank you, Murphy. He identified that if it could potentially go wrong, if something could just go wrong, it's probably going to go wrong. What an optimist, I tell you. You can't ignore your problems because your problems won't ignore you. Don't ignore your problems because they're not going to ignore you. You will face them eventually, your problems. Eventually, you're going to face them. So prepare. Ask yourself these two questions. What can go wrong, and what will happen if it does? When you're looking into making a decision, you got to ask yourself, what could potentially go wrong? What could actually go wrong in this? Number six, this is how you make a better decision. Face your fears. Face your fears. The root of indecision is fear. It's always fear, the root of indecision. The fear that I'll make a mistake, the fear that I'm going to get embarrassed, the fear that I won't be able to finish what I started, those fears. And you got to face your fears. But since most of us hate to admit that we have fear, we use excuses instead. We say, oh, I'm too old for it. You know, I'm already past the age of dreaming something for myself, God. That's an excuse. Oh, God, I don't have the money and the resources to accomplish or do this. That's an excuse. I don't have the education, God, to do this. That's an excuse. But guess what? We see those excuses in Scripture too. Moses, what did he say? I can't speak well. Gideon, I'm too young. Abraham, I'm too old. Excuses. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4, King Solomon puts it this way, and I love this passage. It's a great passage, one of my favorite. It says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. Isn't that something? If you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. You know, a couple of years ago, the city selected a team to be part of the J.B. Wells board, advisory board, and I got to be one of them, actually, one of the people that got to be part of that. And it was an honor to be part of that, but there was a lot of decisions that needed to be made. And I don't know where you stand in terms of the J.B. Wells Expo Center, whether you thought it was a good idea or not, whether it was too small, too big, too costly or not. But at the end of the day, everything came back to this one thing, this passage. If you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. And there was a critical moment. There was a very critical moment in one of our meetings as the advisory board to the city council. It was a critical moment where there was this discussion. And in this discussion, people were saying, some of the people in this discussion were saying, we should just scrap the whole thing and start all over. Start all over. And one of my comments during that meeting was this, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. See, some of us in that meeting understood that if we scrapped it and tried it all over again, that it would take years to ever accomplish anything. If it ever got accomplished. We didn't want to put ourselves in that boat where we felt like we didn't accomplish it, and it's going to be 10 years now before it even gets up and going. God uses imperfect people in imperfect situations to accomplish the impossible. God uses imperfect people, imperfect situations, to accomplish the impossible when you believe. You got to believe. In Romans, Paul puts it this way. He says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? No one, if he's for us. Trust God. Start moving. This is the secret. Move against your fears. Move against your fears. That's how you do it. Do the thing you fear the most. Just do it. Move forward. You know what I do when I don't have the faith? I feel I don't have the faith. I just do it as if though I have it. Because ultimately, that's faith. Faith is not passive. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is an action. It's a verb. It's something you do. You do it. God supports those who move in faith. God supports those who move in faith. What's your faith decision this morning? What's the area of your life that God is saying, I have a dream for you in this area, but you must move first? Is it your business? Is it your marriage? Is it your community? Is it your school? Where is it? What area in your life are you too fearful that you don't know quite how to do it? You don't really want to step out there because you think, what if I step out one more time and give this thing, this relationship or this project one more chance, and I'm scared that it'll fail, Jesse, and I'm going to be embarrassed. Get off it. Get off it. That's not using faith. You're letting fear control you instead of exercising the very faith that God wants to build in you. That he wants to build in you.
Hi, this is Jesse, lead pastor for Two Rivers Bible Church. Our mission is to lead you to know God and to make him known. Our desire is that every man, woman, and child would have that opportunity. Our dream is that we could take a picture of heaven and represent it here on earth in the diversity that we're able to reach. Our hope is that you too could partner with us by sharing this message to your closest unchurched friends and family.